Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. After reading numerous articles on the subject of climate change and health, I'm reminded of the game Jenga I used to play with my son. If you're not familiar with it, picture a stack of wooden pieces all put together like a log cabin in a tall vertical stack. Each player takes a turn at removing a wooden piece. The loser is the person who selects the wrong piece and everything comes tumbling down. I can't find any articles that support the idea that the changes in our climate over the last 10 years are good for health. What I wonder is, which piece of the climate change puzzle will be the one that finally brings us together to tackle healthcare problems that are becoming more and more evident? Whether or not you believe that climate change can be attributed to humans, extreme weather and changing weather requires us to find new ways of coping. We are going to start with an article from Scientific American by Kavya Balaraman and published on March 17, 2017. This is titled, Doctors Warn Climate Change Threatens Public Health. Growing up in southwestern Pennsylvania, Patrice Tomchik had never heard of Lyme disease, an infectious flu-like illness transmitted by ticks. But in the last 5 years, five of her friends have caught it, she's had to have her dog vaccinated, and she regularly finds herself pulling ticks off her children. It can be disconcerting, she said, having to worry about an illness that she had never been exposed to in the past. It's getting warmer, so the season for ticks is lasting longer, said Tomchik, a field consultant with Mom's Clean Air Force. There are so many more of them, and they don't just die off. It's a big issue here in Pennsylvania because we have so much wood. Our family has 29 acres of land out in the woods, and I'm picking ticks off my dog and my kids like I've never seen before. Lyme disease isn't the only contagious illness that is venturing into new territories under a shifting climate. Across the country, physicians are noticing an influx of patients whose illnesses they say are directly or indirectly related to climate change. Now, 11 medical associations, representing around half the doctors and physicians in the country, are creating a group that intends to address the links between climate change and health risks. I view this as one of the largest environmental health crises of our time because of the many pathways in which climate affects us, be it from direct heat effects and heat waves in urban centers, ground-level smog, ozone red alert days, stagnant air masses, and warmer temperatures to some infectious diseases, said Jonathan Patz, director of the Global Health Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The group, called the Medical Society Consortium on Climate and Health, intends to advocate for climate change and health awareness among the public and policymakers. For Robert Byron, clinical director and chief information officer of the Bighorn Valley Health Center in Montana, the biggest issue is wildfires. Montana's fire season has expanded by 2 months over the last century, and there's been an increase in the number of wildfires throughout the summer and early fall. Byron and his colleagues have had to caution patients with asthma and pulmonary disease not to venture outdoors too much. We've seen increases in the amount of medications they need to use, as well as increased likelihood of hospitalization because of flare-ups of their disease. This used to be the exception. Now it's the rule, he said. Samantha Adut, a Virginia-based pediatrician with the American Academy of Pediatrics Council on Environmental Health, has had patients coming in suffering from longer allergy seasons because of prolonged warmer spring seasons. And Thomas Gelhaus, president of the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, pointed out that often women and marginalized communities experience the brunt of the repercussions of climate change. Women face some of the greatest risks from climate change over the course of their lives, and especially during pregnancy. In affected regions, climate change puts women at risk of disease, malnutrition, poor mental health, lack of reproductive control, and even death, he explained, adding that exposure to toxic environmental agents during pregnancy can also lead to increased risks of birth defects and childhood cancer. Members of the consortium plan to share their experiences and learnings far and wide, specifically with policymakers in Congress, who they feel need to be enlightened on these issues. Amid reports of massive budget cuts to US EPA and plans to roll back auto efficiency standards, they made the trip to Capitol Hill to highlight some of the main points on their report. When the Clean Air Act was started, and since that time, in 1970, the EPA has been required to do a benefit-cost analysis of the CAA. The benefit-cost is about 30 to 1. So when we talk about reversing some of these regulations, it's to our detriment, said Patz. Moving along now to the Washington Post by Chelsea Harvey. This was published on December 8, 2016. And titled, Science Just Gave Us More Proof That Destroying the Environment Can Spread Diseases to Humans. In a new study, scientists have demonstrated, yet again, the alarming effects of environmental change on the spread of infectious disease. It's the latest link in a long chain of research suggesting that deforestation and other land use changes can be major drivers of everything from malaria to the Zika virus, which the World Health Organization recently noted is a public health threat that's here to stay. Many previous studies have focused on how changes to the environment can create landscapes that are more suitable for disease-carrying organisms like mosquitoes, or bring them into closer contact with humans. For instance, research suggests that deforestation in Malaysia has brought human communities closer to forest-dwelling macaws. And now, people in these communities are starting to come down with a form of malaria usually found only in monkeys. And another study found that dams in South Africa, which can create standing water for mosquitoes to breed in, have caused a spike in malaria rates. The new study, just out Wednesday in the journal Science Advances, takes a slightly different tack. It focuses on the way land use changes can alter an ecosystem's food chain and the disease-causing bacteria that lurk within it. It finds that a certain amount of environmental degradation can actually be a boon for lower-level members of the food chain who serve as the bacteria's primary hosts. The study focuses on a species of bacteria called Mycobacterium ulcerans, which is responsible for a skin disease known as the Bruelli ulcer. While treatable with antibiotics and sometimes even surgery, according to the World Health Organization, the painful ulcers caused by the disease can also lead to scarring and disfigurement. It tends to be found in tropical and subtropical regions of Africa, South America, and the Western Pacific. In 2014, 2,200 new cases were reported. Until now, the bacteria's life cycle has remained something of a mystery, said Adam Morris, a research associate at Imperial College London and the new study's lead author. Morris conducted the research while completing a PhD jointly funded by Bournemouth University and the French Research Institute for Development. Although scientists knew it was associated with aquatic environments, they didn't know much about its hosts or how it spreads. We wanted to look at it at a community level and try to figure out where it resides within the biological community, Morris told the Washington Post. So we wanted to see whether it was associated with specific species in the aquatic environment, pinpoint that, and see whether changes in land use, particularly human pressures on the environment, can affect this bacteria. The researchers collected more than 3,000 aquatic organisms, including fish, insects, and other invertebrates, from 17 sites across French Guiana, one of the nations where Bruelli ulcer is known to occur. After testing the organisms for signs of the bacteria, they found that M. ulcerans is something of a generalist, meaning it doesn't associate itself with just one species. But they did find that it tends to be most abundant in organisms lower down on the food chain, such as small bottom-feeding fish and insects. At each site, the researchers also evaluated the amount of deforestation or other human-induced habitat degradation, such as agricultural or urban expansion, and examined the way it had affected the community of organisms, including the bacteria, in each case. They found that a certain amount of degradation tended to cause a decline in larger predators and other organisms near the top of the food chain, lessening the pressure on the animals they would typically eat and allowing them to prosper. Because these lower-level organisms are the preferred hosts for M. ulcerans, the bacteria were actually more abundant in these settings. There's sort of this sweet spot where you get a lot of the organisms that carry the bacteria, but as you progress to large levels of habitat destruction, then they sort of decline again, Morris said. In other words, a certain amount of human activity can be a boon to the bacteria, but too much could cause enough damage to the environment that even the lower-level hosts start to die off. Whether the same effects would hold true for other types of bacteria is unclear from this study, which only examined the one species. But the research does indicate that looking at the complete community in any given habitat, rather than individual host species and the way it changes with human influence, can provide important insights into the study of infectious diseases, especially those caused by parasites that can live on in a variety of different hosts. As The Post's Chris Mooney reported earlier this year, some of the most worrying infectious diseases that have emerged in recent years, such as the Zika virus, were likely spurred by a variety of environmental changes driven by encroaching human communities. Recognizing the many different ways human activity can change an ecosystem is a major step in figuring out how diseases like Zika or malaria might behave in the future. The new study provides another facet to these investigations, as it demonstrates deforestation and other human activity don't just change the landscape, it alters the complex suite of interactions among all the organisms that live there, sometimes making room for new or previously suppressed species to emerge and thrive. And this can lead to all kinds of unforeseen and sometimes unwanted consequences. With habitat destruction, you lose organisms, but you also gain some, Morris said. Whether the ones that emerge are harmful to humans is a question that is becoming increasingly important to investigate. Next, we come to Where Climate Change is Threatening the Health of Americans, written by Jacqueline Howard and published by CNN on April 13, 2017. As President Donald Trump looks to curb the government's enforcement of climate regulations, experts are concerned about how the action might impact public health. The current federal political climate in the United States bodes ill for the future of the world's climate and, by extension, for the health of people around the world, Americans included, said Dr. Mona Sarfatti, director of the Program on Climate and Health at George Mason University's Center for Climate Change Communication. Sarfatti helped prepare a report released last month by the Medical Society Consortium on Climate and Health that mapped how climate change threatens the health of people across the United States and how those threats vary by region. Extreme temperatures and weather events, poor outdoor air quality, contaminated food and water, mosquito and tick-borne infections, wildfires, and stresses on mental health are the climate-related health risks identified in the report by practicing physicians. There's a gap between the public's understanding of the health implications of climate change and physicians' understanding of the health implications of climate change, Sarfatti said. Most people are not aware that climate change is a danger to their health, and physicians see that risk. Globally, about 12.6 million people die each year due to environmental risk factors such as pollution, extreme weather, or climate-related disease, according to the World Health Organization. Between 2030 and 2050, climate change is expected to cause 250,000 additional deaths per year around the world, according to the WHO, including in the United States. I think Americans consider climate change as an over-there problem or confined to poor countries, said Dr. Jonathan Patz, a professor and director of the Global Health Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, who was not involved in the consortium's report. Climate change is already influencing the frequency of heat waves, flooding events, and famines, as well as epidemics of vector and waterborne diseases, he said. But in a globalized world, an increase in disease anywhere in the world can affect us all. People along the East Coast might be at greater risk of mosquito and tick-borne infections as the climate becomes hotter and more humid, creating an ideal breeding environment for those disease-carrying insects, according to the report. Mosquitoes can transmit dengue fever, Zika, and West Nile virus, which has spread across the country and is popping up in outbreaks periodically, recently in Texas and Louisiana, Sarfati said. Although a number of factors played a role in the recent Zika virus outbreak, climate-related changes in the environment might have influenced the spread of mosquitoes carrying the virus, according to a document from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Extreme weather along the East Coast, especially in the summer, also has resulted in the spread of bacterial infections, Sarfati said. When increased rainfall leads to flooding, there can be a mixing of stormwater and sewage that leads to bacterial contamination in the water. This has been a problem in recreational lakes in the Midwest, Sarfati said. Bacterial contamination also can impact crops, leading to an increase in food-related infections. Warmer ocean water also makes a difference. Along the coast, there are cases of bacterial contamination in shellfish in the warmer months that have those waters more likely to cause infection when people swim there, especially if they have open cuts in their skin, she said. There have been some cases off the coast of Florida where people have gotten skin infections. Sarfati added that areas along the Mississippi and Ohio rivers, such as in Missouri and Ohio, have experienced increased flooding in recent years, which also has led to a risk of contaminated water and water-related infections. There was an outbreak of cryptosporidiosis in Wisconsin some years ago that was related to one of these rain events, she said. Both the east and west coasts of the United States are threatened by extreme summer heat, flooding, storms, drought, poor air quality that can impact breathing, allergies, and the mental health problems that come with dealing with those health threats, according to the consortium's report. When people are displaced from their homes because of floods or extreme storms, this loss of home and separation from family and community leads to mental health impacts that can be reflected in substance abuse, alcoholism, domestic strife or violence, depression, or anxiety, Sarfati said. Meanwhile, the Great Plains and Midwest face a slightly different mix of climate change-related health impacts. Poor air quality, extreme weather, and wildfires threaten the Great Plains, while food and water-related infections and mosquito and tick-borne diseases threaten the Midwest, according to the consortium's report. You've got Lyme disease spreading west into the Midwestern states, Michigan, Missouri, Ohio, certainly spreading further north into Canada and also south into Virginia. The tick that carries Lyme disease is now found in many more counties than it was before, Sarfati said. Changes in climate also have affected some crops and food sources in the Great Plains and Midwest, according to the consortium's report. One of the more recent findings that has been surprising to me is the increasing evidence that a carbon dioxide-enriched atmosphere is actually leading to crops that have lower nutritious value, Sarfati said. So it's impacting the nutritional value of grains. That's something which has been increasingly documented, and of course it's very worrisome because the population depends on the growth of grains as a staple in our diet, she said. Most climate scientists agree that humans are causing the planet to warm by polluting the atmosphere with heat-trapping greenhouse gases. Carbon dioxide is the primary greenhouse gas emitted through human activities, such as burning fossil fuels like coal, natural gas, and oil at power plants. Fossil fuel pollutants can generate particulate matter, a complex mixture of tiny particles and liquid droplets in the atmosphere. Once inhaled, these small particles can impact your heart and lungs with serious health effects. The most widespread health problems that physicians reported to us are lung and heart conditions related to poor air quality, Sarfati said of the consortium's report. Between 60,000 to 80,000 Americans still die early from exposure to particulate air pollution, stemming mostly from burning fossil fuels, said Patz, the professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. This consortium also defines the reduction of fossil fuel combustion as one of the best interventions we can do to immediately improve our health, be it through clearer air quality to promoting physically active commuting in cities, he said. Trump signed an executive order last month to review and possibly eliminate the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean Power Plan, which was intended to regulate and cut greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. The Industrial Revolution played a major role in expanding the use of burning coal, and humans have increased the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere by more than a third since the Industrial Revolution, about 150 years ago, according to NASA. This atmospheric impact on the climate has worsened allergy symptoms, Sarfati said. Ragweed plants are very widespread on the East Coast and into the Midwest, and a very common cause of allergies. Those plants actually have more potent allergen in them when they grow in higher carbon dioxide atmospheres, Sarfati said. One of the things that we're beginning to hear is that, oh, we don't have to worry about carbon dioxide because carbon dioxide is plant food. Well, it turns out that carbon dioxide is actually causing more virulent allergens, she said. Sarfati also said allergies and some other climate-related health effects tend to be more widespread than regional. Extreme heat and wildfires are two that have swept most of the country. From 1999 to 2010, there were more than 7,000 heat-related deaths in the U.S., an average of about 618 per year, according to the CDC. As for wildfires, the threat appears more along the West Coast, but there have been recent flare-ups in other parts of the country, according to the consortium's report. Last year, a wildfire raged through eastern Tennessee, leaving 14 people dead and 175 injured, and destroying more than 2,400 homes, businesses, and other properties. Large wildfires now burn more than twice the area they did around 1970, according to the Center for Climate and Energy Solutions. Just a 1 degree Celsius rise in the planet's average global temperature is expected to produce up to a 400% increase in areas burned by wildfires, according to a 2011 report from the National Research Council's Committee on Stabilization Targets for Atmospheric Greenhouse Gas Concentrations. Smoky plumes from wildfire can impact the health of residents 100 miles away, Sarfati said. This can cause increases to emergency rooms for all kinds of respiratory conditions and for cardiac conditions as well, including heart attacks and episodes of heart failure, she said. Air quality worsens with rising heat and/or wildfires, longer, more severe allergy conditions, and injuries related to extreme weather events, she said. These most common conditions seen by physicians and associated with climate change are becoming so widespread that it's hard to cast them as strictly regional vulnerabilities. Dr. George Benjamin, executive director of the American Public Health Association, said that as the climate continues to change, the health of more Americans could be affected. The wildfire risk on the West, the infectious disease risks in the Midwest and the East Coast are striking differences, Benjamin said. More people will find themselves directly impacted as environmental conditions get worse. We have the opportunity to address this now, he said. At some point, the climate changes become more difficult to reverse, and many of the events like floods, severe storms, and toxic air become so severe that communities will become uninhabitable. A threat to inhabitability looms over other parts of the world. As a result of climate change, scientists predict that areas in the Middle East and North Africa could become uninhabitable in the summers by 2100. This may exacerbate humanitarian hardship and contribute to migration, according to a study published last year in the journal Climate Change. Yet, as mainstream medical societies are recognizing how much climate change threatens our health, communities can prepare for these health impacts, Pat said, giving a nod to the consortium's report. To be honest, I am not surprised by any content in the report and am extremely encouraged by mainstream medical societies now recognizing how much climate change threatens our health, he said. What stood out to me is how these medical societies are already prioritizing prevention or mitigation of climate change as a major component to the response from the healthcare sector. And something a little bit different. It's not directly health, but boy, these items to me are part of my good health. This is titled Five Favorite Foods Threatened by Climate Change, written by Irene V. Nemesio, who is a staff contributor for the Georgetown Environmental Law Review. And this must have been written before Thanksgiving of 2016. Next week, millions of Americans will celebrate Thanksgiving by gathering around tables to feast from the most delectable of food dishes. But while you munch on your turkey leg this year, the delicious meat filling you both with nourishment and joy, consider this food for thought. Climate change could limit the supply of some of your favorite foods. Here is a preview of what climate change may have in store for some of our favorite foods. Chocolate. This week, the Washington Post reported that the world is now facing a chocolate shortage, which is expected to grow. Although the shortage is in part due to increasing demand around the world, it is also being caused by dry weather in West Africa, particularly in Ghana and Ivory Coast, which produces more than 70% of the world's cocoa, according to the report. Coffee. Not only is your sweet tooth in trouble, but so is your morning wake-up routine. Americans drink an average of 3.1 cups of coffee a day. Meanwhile, climate change is threatening coffee crops in each of the world's major coffee-producing regions. The report attributes the dramatic reduction in coffee supplies to higher temperatures, long droughts punctuated by intense rainfall, more resilient pests, and plant diseases. And we do not have the time to read all of this, so I will give you the bad news. The other on the list, number 3, beer and wine, number 4, seafood, and number 5, meat. So I thank you for tuning in to Sound Body today. Stay well and come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.